Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome back to News and Views. Despite the economic recovery, thousands of families in North Carolina don't have enough to eat during the year. That food insecurity has been increased by deep cuts to safety net programs like food stamps and unemployment insurance. Here to talk about that and discuss a major grant to help foster teens transition to adulthood is Jill Bullard with the Interfaith Food Shuttle in Raleigh. Well, Jill, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We always appreciate your time.
Oh, Chris, it's always fun to be here. Thank you.
A lot to talk about in the world of hunger and poverty and what we can do about it, but let's start with some good news. $1 million GSK Impact Grant Award. Tell us a little bit about that and what it will do.
Well, you know, it was a competitive cycle, and we are so privileged to be a part of the winning team. And they are really working on a segment of the population that is so often forgotten, and that is youth aging out of the foster care system. I don't know about you, but I see young adults everywhere, and I don't necessarily know their history. I don't know what barriers they have had. And certainly, we know that all young adults, I mean, I've had kids go off to college, I've had kids go into jobs, aren't prepared to, how are they going to have food in their pantry? Is it going to be nutritious and all of those things, as well as how do you do a budget? All those life skills. And so this group has come together to do a 360 holistic approach on making sure they have the supports they need.
Tell us a little bit more about the collaborative.
Well, it was existing. The United Way had, several years ago, had brought together in the three counties the United Way serves, Orange, Durham, and Wake. The program's working with kids aging in foster care and aging out of foster care. Here in Wake County, it's the Hope Center at Pullen, Life Skills Foundation in Durham, and Say So, and that is Strong, Able Youth Speaking Out in Orange County. And they had brought those together to work on this. The collaborative existed, but what was missing was the food and nutritional supports, and that's why they invited us in.
It is interesting, the foster care program, you hear a little bit about that occasionally, but it really seems one of the big forgotten parts of our safety net.
It is. I have learned so much from these people who have been working in this field for years. What I've learned is heartbreaking and also very hopeful and uplifting. You know, the difference that support systems make for these people is incredible, and most of them never forget it. They're so grateful for it.
Let's move to the larger issue about hunger in North Carolina. We've talked to you before about that. I always have to start with the first question. Where are we? How do you think we're doing?
We're still 1 in 4 of our children, 1 in 5 of our adults are hungry. We've got I think, in the U.S., something like 48 million people who live at or below the poverty line. 2 million of those are in North Carolina. And we really have a problem feeding our children. I came from 2 different conferences this month that I really want to talk to you about. And one is, Bread for the World, where it's really, what is advocacy and what do politics and government have to do with feeding people? And one of those things David Price said that I think is just so relevant is individual acts of charity are not enough. There has to be a collaboration of public, private, governmental, everything working together, because no one organization can do it.
In the times we're living in now, there are certain governmental actions that seem to make it worse. I mean, we're in North Carolina. We're about to cut off 100,000 adults from getting SNAP or food stamp benefits.
Isn't it unbelievable? And most of those live in Tier 1 counties where there aren't jobs, there aren't training programs. The question hasn't been thought through. They are punishing people who have no options, no choices.
As you often say, and I think it's always worth repeating, the people, the stereotypes, the things that people say, and I still hear that a lot, about people who are hungry or poor, they really don't apply.
No, they don't. They don't apply at all. It's still those first things we learned when Interfaith Food Shuttle started, is these are grandmothers and grandfathers. These are working parents who really do struggle to earn enough income, but that often means leaving a child alone in a home with no food. We don't think about what they deal with every single day.
We're approaching the summer, which is another thing I know that you have been long talking about, which is kids who are at least have one good square meal a day or two at school will not have that available to them in a couple months.
As summer comes, certainly from the state, Cynthia Irvin from the state, and other counties are working together to increase the participation in some summer feeding programs, because that is a federally reimbursed program. You can get money for doing this. So it's not just charity. It's what the government wants to have happen. and they're working together, but the utilization is so small.
And why is that, do you think?
Well, it's again, the barriers of where. How and where. How do we get food into areas where there is no food? I think using our school systems are certainly one. You know, our schools are situated in all economic areas, in all economic zones. But we think in terms of the Y's, the YMCA's, the Boys and Girls Club. Well, those are big partners, but they don't serve all the children.
I don't know if I've asked you this before. There's actually one organization in North Carolina that has habitually attacked the school lunch program and said that there are kids who are getting food who don't qualify. What do you say to folks who think that some of these programs have waste and we shouldn't be doing these things?
It's completely ludicrous. They have no idea what the real world is for people in the state who are surviving on, well, on minimum wage or even $10 an hour, $12 an hour. It really would take $15 an hour for a single adult to earn a living wage in the Triangle Region. That's a single adult. Think of a mother with two children. They have no clue. And I just want to take those blinders off their eyes and make them see what the real barriers are. If there is 1% waste, I'd be surprised. You know, no one's tripping the system. Nobody's tricking it. Everybody is really, really sincere in their need.
And how do we do what you talked about earlier from back when you mentioned the conference that you get to? How do we move people from thinking it's, and it is a wonderful thing to donate food and time to direct service people, but how do we move that from then asking the question about why are so many people in our state?
Because we have to attack the root causes. The lack of access, the barriers of income and transportation, certainly getting food access in low-wealth villages. Until our wages go up, we're going to have this problem. So we're going to have to look at job creation. We're going to have to look at job training. We're going to have to look at those things that empower people to take responsibility and let them do it. They want to do this, but we've eliminated all their options. We've got to make sure those options are open.
And we've eliminated or in many ways created new holes in the safety net that they rely on.
Yeah. You know, it's a catch-22. We can't win under this system.
Another thing, I know you've long talked about the Plant a Row, which is really a fascinating program. I don't think we talk about that enough. Tell us about that and how it works.
Sure. Anybody who has a garden can plant a row for the hungry. That's what we call it. Put those collards in, plant those blackberry bushes, and donate them to, in Wake County, certainly Logan's, but you can donate them to any food bank or food pantry. And then they can go into feeding people in need. It's so simple. I have a very small plot in my backyard, and yet I give away zucchinis until my neighbors start screaming, you know. So, yes, we can get that squash and those cabbage heads. We can get all of those to people who need it.
And finally, before I let you go, how can people help? What do you say to people who are listening? What should they do?
All right, go learn. www.foodshuttle.org here in the Triangle Region. Across the state, North Carolina Association of Feeding America Food Banks. There are statistics on who is hungry and why they are hungry. And there's also maps of where you can take good food, where you can give your dollars to make a difference.
Well, thanks for all you're doing to make a difference. And it's great to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Chris.
That's it for another edition of News and Views. Look for us on the web at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Chris Fitzsimon. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon, Director of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com. News and Views, a weekly look at state and policy issues, is a production of the North Carolina Justice Center.